Morning. This is Tyrone Wilson. Hey, we're here for the conversation. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. It's a nice day outside. I am study aging, but one of us is just getting younger and younger. It's Jake O'Bop.
What's up? What's up? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very, very well.
I'm just a little curious. Well. There's a lady who came in today, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yeah.
She got a smile on her face.
She got a smile on her face?
Smile on her face, man. Looks like, you know, love is in the air. I don't know. It could be me. I don't know.
Really?
Hey, listen. I'm just saying. How you doing, Pastor Weatherly?
I thought I missed the rapture or something because she was here on time.
Yo, don't tell anybody. She was on time.
She was on time today.
On time today.
Yeah, I thought I missed the rapture.
We didn't have to put the bat signal up in the air.
We didn't have to dog her out on the radio or nothing. Wow.
Somebody had to come pick her up. Hey, listen. Wow. It's better to get a ride than miss it.
Oh, get that right.
Ooh. Swing down, low chariot coming, let me ride.
Yeah, I hear you. As long as I get caught up.
Give me a chariot, give me an old ship of Zion.
Back, train, and get your load.
Yep, give me a train, I don't care what
train,
it is.
Train, somebody's coattail, I'm going.
I'm holding on by a thread.
Please.
If I could just touch the hem of his garment.
Listen. You know, that's crossed
just
my mind.
I'll hold on by a thread.
That crossed my mind.
Lord, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, when you get to your kingdom, will you remember me?
Wait.
Yeah. Yes.
Spoke too soon.
See?
As long as he...
See?
Listen. Well, there's my compadre.
For she those of you...
me to handle this, these people.
For those of you Santa myself. Claus people... I know somebody who needs a watch for Christmas.
Wow.
I know somebody
That's
who could
bad.
Use a watch.
Wow.
That's bad.
Did you actually go there?
Yeah, for those of you Santa Claus people.
Okay. Yeah.
Somebody, and she's normally here waiting on you.
Yes.
Now remember, you know? I got
and
a
she sits there patiently and humbly, and in the back of her mind, she's saying, I don't mind waiting.
Anybody looking for a Christmas present for me? I love watches. I got a fetish for watches.
Hey. Christmas presents, watches.
Watches. Okay. And the men's watches. I don't like women's
really?
Watches.
Really?
They're too small. Too small. But I love men's watches.
Yeah, I collect watches myself. You have this thing I got addicted to, Wish.com. Oh, my God. They have all of the things that you normally buy in the stores, right?
Really?
But it's actually coming directly from the manufacturer, which is 9 times out of 10 in China or somewhere overseas. And, you know, you can get the expensive watches and all types of different things that you would normally pay high prices for like pennies on the dollar and shipping on top of it. And I don't know why I'm giving these people this free advertising. But I'm sorry to tell you, it's just like, it's addictive. It's
yes,
so addictive.
Very much so.
Because, you know, you're getting these sales, you know. In these deals, and be like, "Ooh, I want that. And then, you know, you say, okay, I'm not going to spend no more than maybe $50, right? And then, you know, so you say, well, $1 here, $2 there, $5 here, you know, maybe $10 at the most, everything is costing. And you get to the checkout, you'd be like, oh.
Yep.
Now you got to go delete.
So what do you like, Pastor Jerry? What you like?
Good morning.
What gifts you like? Pastor Weatherly likes watches. Forever Young likes.
I like toys.
He like gifts.
I like toys.
What do you like?
I like books.
Books, okay.
Books, okay. Okay.
That's okay. Perfect any particular? Leader. Any particular type of book?
No, not really.
She okay. likes to read.
Okay.
Well, if anyone wants to get me a gift, you can go down to Family Dollar, Dollar General,
okay.
or Tops. Little Debbie's is in the snack aisle.
Little, you don't even have to spend cash. You can use food stamps.
You can use your EBT. You can use your EBT card. And Little Debbie. Preferably zebra cakes or the peanut butter box.
See, you know.
Really simple. Real simple.
Yeah,
real simple.
And, you know, I think you know, people always ask me, you know, what do you want for Christmas? And I always say, I don't know.
Yeah, really, you
know,
you don't.
You know, because, you know, if I want something, I'll just go get it, you know, or I'll save and get it, you know, no matter what it is, you know. And so I always say, I don't know. Right. And I have to stop saying that because, you know, people have this a tendency to buy you stuff that you will not use or wear.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
And, you know, for years, you know, and you've known me for quite a few years now. And you were surprised when you asked me to come to the funeral a few weeks ago. I was actually wearing
a suit
with a
Never
tie.
Seen him with one on, people.
Okay. Normally I wear what? Those two-piece
two-piece
casual
he
outfits.
He looked nice.
And because I don't, it's uncomfortable for me. And especially, you know, when you singing and playing and preaching and all this other stuff and you got all this, you know, it's uncomfortable for me. And so that's why, I just don't like it. But you were surprised. So one Christmas, this lady comes in, right? And she brought, I don't know how many ties. I mean, it was like ties, 20, 30 ties. Like, when was the last time you saw me in one?
Right,
she haven't
observed.
You know,
really paid attention.
And you know, and you don't want to be disingenuous or anything like that. And so, you know, sometimes you have to make a mental note. You know, to sometimes, you know, say, you know, what you want, especially if somebody asks you, and if you don't know what you want, just tell them, give me the money.
Yeah, the money.
give me the money, and I'll, you know, because there are a lot of people who will be, you know, buying gifts for individuals, and it'll be a waste, especially if that's not something that the person likes or enjoys or would even use.
You know, the best type of gifts is really neutral gifts like a gift card. Gas card.
Okay, gas card.
Gift cards are very good because you're showing your love for them, but you're leaving them the freedom to do what they want with it. So Tim Horton is always a good thing.
All this free advertising.
Anybody doesn't like a gift card to a fancy restaurant. Those things will work for people.
This lady, I think it was a Father's Day gift, and one of my members gave me a gift card to a restaurant, and since they don't advertise it, I'm not going to mention their name. But anyway, they had the best fried pickles. Oh, they were to die for.
Fried pickles.
Oh my God!
Never had fried pickles.
You never had fried pickles?
No.
I've never known anybody else who had.
Dude,
right?
You just don't know what you're missing.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Sweet or sour?
Dill. And if you ever had dill pickle potato chips. Good stuff.
See, I'm not a pickle eater.
Matter of fact, I think it was Tammy, she got me chocolate-covered potato chips. Oh, my God, they were to die for.
Really?
Oh, yes.
You could see the look on his face.
Oh, my God.
Pastor Wilson is looking really strange at
him. But Lay's potato chips.
Gross. Oh, that's gross.
Oh, that was to die for. You ever had duck fries?
No.
Chocolate covered Lay's potato chips. Thank you. All right. that was a Christmas gift to the diet. You never had duck fries?
No.
Or truffle fries?
No.
Oh, jeez. I'm gonna have to get y'all some gift cards. See?
No. There's a man. He told me that, you know, he buys all these electronics for his wife. She won't use any of them.
Yeah, it's a waste.
It's a waste of, she'll park it under the bed, and that's it. And I mean, he spends money on her.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really believe in all that stuff. And to me, I said, you're wasting your time doing it. And he loves to shop.
Yeah.
He loves it. He's out there at the, you know, the right after Thanksgiving dinner. He goes right out and buys and stuff. And he buys her stuff. He get phones after phones after phones, all kind of different electronics, and she don't want it.
You know what I miss? I'm going to tell you what I miss. Gelsey's Fashions. You remember Pastor Gelsey?
Yes.
Used to have his two stuff.
Right.
I miss that place. I really do. I never did go to that.
He
had just about everything for everybody. Then when they expanded into the Galleria Mall, they, you know, he had, you know, stuff for the young people, but then he had stuff for people my age when I was younger. I would hit his place. I was the last customer on Christmas Eve every year because I always waited till Christmas Eve to do shopping. That's how I just go over to Gelsey's and I would buy the kids their stuff, and I, you know, and I would buy me whatever I wanted. I miss that place. There's a lot of different places that, you know, are right in our community that, you know, I wish our listeners would just go ahead and support, you know, those businesses instead of heading out and giving your money out there in the suburbs.
Customer service is terrible.
You know, what's that?
People, a lot of times you want to service your own people, but uh-huh. The customer service is terrible.
Yeah, it all depends, you know, if it's the owner or if it's a person representing the owner. And I've always found this, that there's customer service is bad everywhere. It's everywhere, everywhere.
What you need to do. Particular McDonald's right there, Genesee and Bailey.
Oh, please.
Stop. Wait, hold on.
And I was getting ready to say something. Right.
Hold on.
No, wait. Some stay
away. And so what
away.
Happened, every morning I go get me a courtesy cup of water and a cup of coffee. And I have a thing against giving you my money and you treating me bad.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I did was, first I spoke the young lady, and then mm-hmm. I went to the manager and I addressed it, and ever since then I be well respected. Well, good morning, hi, how you doing, hey, say
but
hi
you shouldn't
back.
Have to do that
and it was addressed, but no, the difference is that we came up in an era where customer service was big. And now you have a group of people who it's not as important. They disrespect people, period.
Yeah, people.
They respect people in general. So, and I don't know, I think a lot of it has to do with babies having babies.
Mm-hmm.
So the upbringing and the training mm-hmm. Was not there. And so, and the responsibility, the downside of a child having a child, is a pressure, and they're not ready to handle that type of responsibility because mentally they haven't grown to a stage where they can process the responsibilities and the things that they have to do. You have now a 17-year-old person with a child that hasn't finished school, and now they have to worry about the rent and the lights, the gas, taking care of a child. A young boy just went to jail because he was a 2-month-old baby on the bed. Baby bounced off the bed, hit his head, bleeding in the brain. The baby dies because they don't know how to handle the pressure right. and the stress right. of what comes along with that. And so since they're going through so much, the good morning, hi, how you doing is gone. It's absent. You know, yeah. That's all you want? Because they're angry. They're angry. Yeah. They're bitter. Yeah. They're frustrated. And so, and they'll take themselves that to work. The next thing you know, that's all you want? Bye. because cross court they ain't.
But see, if I go to a place and the customer service is not right, I just ain't going back no more. I'm not arguing with you. I ain't not fussing with you. I'm not going to fight with you. I may let you know that this is unacceptable, but I choose wisely where I spend my money.
Because you wanted to be genuine. I mean, if you have to tell somebody, first of all, they shouldn't be there. They should not be there representing whoever owns that store, but they carelessly put people in positions that have no type of social skills at all and don't want you to say anything. And to me, is they're undeserving of service.
And I think that you said that you know that right, that you put individuals in positions that they are not, you know,
right.
built for. Now, you know, and I use this analogy a lot in teaching leaders, you know, whatever your dominant trait is, that's what you should go after. You know, I write with my right hand. Okay. That's my dominant hand. Okay. Now, if I broke my right hand and I use my left hand to write, I can do it, but I will not do it very well.
Okay, and that's what happens when we put individuals behind counters or, you know, in certain positions or even at the door of your church or at the mic of your church for that matter. Okay, and you put these people in places that they're not dominant in, you know, and if they're not dominant in, they can do it, but they don't do it very well. And I don't even think that many people are cognizant of the fact because, you know, when kids, and you brought up the kids, when the kids apply for the job, they're not applying for the job, they're applying for the check.
That's it.
You know, okay, they could care less about the job. They want the check. Yeah. And so they apply for things that number one, they don't like, they are not good at, they don't enjoy, and you wonder why they get hired today and get fired tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because they're in positions that they can do it, but they don't do it very well. How are you going to put a person in the kitchen, you know, to wash dishes, and they don't wash dishes at home? How are you going to apply for a job to clean, and your house is a hot mess, okay? Okay, that's not your dominant trait. You don't like to do it. Don't apply for the job.
So what do we call it when we do that in the church?
We do it everywhere. You know, we volunteer for things or we feel pressured sometimes to become assimilated into a congregation. And so these different people, I remember when I was growing up, after a person joined the church, you know, they would, one of the pastors used to ask, okay, well, what do you like to do? And then all of a sudden, you know, the different presidents from the different auxiliaries would come running down to try to pull this person to assimilate them into the congregation. I understand that point of how they did it and why they did it. But at the same time, you can't, you know, if a person is an introvert, okay, we won't even use anything negative, okay? But if a person is an introvert, the last place you want them is at a door, okay? If a person does not know how to clean, why would you put them on the cleaning committee? If a person doesn't like to cook or can't cook, why would you put them on the kitchen committee? Okay? Come on, let's just, you know, call a spade. If a person is shy, why would you have them on the fundraising committee trying to ask people for money?
Because you're trying to fill it.
You're not
paying attention whether they have skills or not.
Right.
We do that in a church, especially in small churches. We got to have these certain departments, and I learned working at a business that you just can't fill people into spots, like you said, that have no talent for it or any skills for it, or really have no respect for it. But we want to do it because we think it needs to be filled, and we just fill it. It not asking God, okay, who should we put in this position? We do it ourselves. And we did like they did with Saul. They picked him because he was the tallest.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and the Lord let him, he said, okay, you pick your king, you pick it. And they picked the one that was the tallest out of the group.
And then God turned around and picked the shortest.
That picked the shortest. Catch that, you know.
What happens here.
It's true.
It's the same thing that God tries to show it in the scriptures. It's the same story.
He ain't trying. We just ain't paying attention.
We watching TV with our eyes closed and how people tell you, I'm listening. What happens is what we do. We our eyes are closed. We say, but I'm listening. I can hear what's going on. I'm paying attention. The story of Cain and Abel is the same story of the five wise and the five foolish. And it's the same story of Jesus tells about the people with the talents. You have people in the same location, but the attitudes of the people that are there are different. Cain and Abel were taught by the same parents. They were taught by the same parents, mm-hmm. the same lessons. Mm-hmm. One of the sons heard the message, applied it to his life, and gave it his all. The next son heard the message, applied the message, but he did not give it his all. He just did it because he was there and this is what he was told to do. And so the same thing with the five wise and the five foolish. They all were there at the same location. for the same purpose. They all was waiting for the bridegroom to come. But five of the people had prepared themselves for the mission that was at hand. And the other hand, other five just took it for granted, ah, blah, blah, blah. And they weren't prepared. You have people who come to church all in the same location, and they all hear the same exact message at the same time. Oh, old service was dead. Another person, service was the bomb. They heard the same message, was in the presence of the same spirit. But it was the attitude that the people have. Some people come to church, and the job that they should be appointed to them is you go over there and sit there and don't move. Because that's all they came for, to come there, sit there, and not move. And some people, hey, what area you want to work in? I'm left-handed. So whatever job you have that I can best use my left hand doing,
right,
that's the job. Because some people will give you 30 ties and not pay attention that they have never seen you with a suit. They're in the same place.
You know, it's just like, you know, you brought up McDonald's. And the Jeter family, who actually built those McDonald's, the one on Grider, the one on Bailey, and I believe they own two more, one on Niagara and one on the Thruway. But they're both gone home with the Lord. But I want to bring this point out, is that when a person was hired back then, for like 2 or 3 days, the only thing you could do is just sit in the back in this room watching these training tapes from the franchise. You know, and so one of the things, if you ever notice that, if the front calls to the back for something, they have to say please, and then the back, in order to recognize, to acknowledge that they heard what you said, they had to yell back thank you. That's the only thing. Okay, please and thank you. But they were cues, they were signals to each other. But at the same time, it was creating a culture of courtesy. During rush hour, sometimes it was frantic. It was, you got a line outside, you got lines at the counter, and all of these different orders are coming back, but you got conditioned just to say please and thank you, and which showed your comrade's courtesy. But you also were acknowledging the fact that they did give you the order, because now you did open up your mouth. And at the same time, it kind of kept you, at a level of professionalism, so that your customers are not feeling the stress that you're feeling. But how many people watch those videos and fail something as simple as please and thank you, especially when they were having a bad time or a stressful moment or something in that? I can imagine how many people, kids, have watched those dumb videotapes.
I was listening to this man a couple of weeks ago. He said something that they took some young people and they put it in this room and they were talking, conversing back and forth. He said only 20 of them acknowledged their presence, like saying hello when they walked in the room. And another thing, when they said less than that, said goodbye when they walked out. And so he says that type of communication you're talking about has to be taught. But if you don't teach, it's missing. He says it's not the children's fault that they didn't say it. It's the point, they were never taught to say it. We stop blessing each other instead of saying, when someone sneezes,
God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you.
I have to say, oh, bless me.
Yeah.
You can be in a place, right? And, you sneeze and you're accustomed. I'm accustomed, to hearing God bless you. All right, And if somebody, and I said, well, Lord, bless me. And I say it nice and loud, and then all of a sudden everybody, oh, yeah, God bless you.
Sam Rafford, over at the CAO building over there on Fillmore in Glenwood, he made the statement. He laughed. I had sneezed, and he said, God bless you. I said, no, God bless us. I said, because don't you need a blessing too? And we have, and the reason I say it is because we have been conditioned to certain types of settings, and some of these settings aren't good settings. Some of these settings are not good settings.
No,
and
they're not.
We sit down, and it's really sad that we allow our children to do it. We allow our children to play a video game for hours by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty in playing a game, kickball, football, dodgeball, is you learning how to interact with other people.
You don't.
And when we don't learn how to interact with other people, we don't coach or guide our children how to interact with other people, then the social skills that they need to be functional in life is absent. Mm-hmm. It's absent. And so there's no need when a person walks in the room to say, hi, how you doing? Hello. Or you leave, you're saying goodbye. These are social skills that need to be taught. And these social skills will help you in the workplace.
Got it right. You got that right.
But if we don't have these social skills, or if no one's taking the time, because it's so convenient to sit your child in front of a TV and say,
sure,
play. You don't have to interact with the child. You don't have to teach the child. You don't have to instruct the child. And so it's kind of like when that child gets older, they're in a crowded room, but you have to sit alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. no one has taught this child how to interact with other people. You meet a young lady, or she meet a young man, and he has no social skills. They go on a date, and next time you go to that fancy restaurant, I oftentimes say, watch the couples. Watch what couples are sitting there at the table, and they're interacting.
Or sitting
on. And whilst they're sitting there, you on a date.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Now that phone. Phone. Would y'all put them phones down?
You're on a date. And he's looking at his phone, interacting with his phone. She's interacting with her phone, and they're not interacting
That's
with
right.
each other.
Put the phone down.
I was having
and
a conversation.
TV's in every room, and you don't have to meet in the
right.
family room.
I wish you
none.
Would.
Right.
I wish you would. Put that phone down.
I was having a conversation with a lady yesterday, and right in the middle of the conversation, she picks up her phone and starts looking through the phone. I stopped talking. She says, "What's wrong? Why you stop?" I said, "Because apparently you're not interested in what I'm saying."
Exactly.
And I know you're not interested in what I'm
exactly.
saying because you picked up the phone and you start going through your phone, and we were talking about health issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because we haven't been taught how to interact
that's right.
with other people, mm-hmm. not even having a conversation that's important.
I think one of the things that, you know, is missing again is the eye-to-eye contact.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, and so now because of this, our addiction to our messaging and our social apps, you know, we kind of multitask quite often by, you know, looking and scrolling through stuff and listening at the same time, but not realizing that, okay, I'm talking to you, so which means you need to look at me. You know, don't look at the phone, because now, even though your ears are open, I want that the eye-to-eye contact. You know, when Peter and John, I believe it was, yeah, Peter and John went to the temple, and the beggar was asking for alms, all right? The first portion of ministry that they gave to him was to say, look at us, all right? Don't be looking down at the ground with your hand out, you know what I mean? If you're going to ask me for something, look at me
in the
eye.
At least have the decency to look at
me.
You
come
know,
on.
We were taught to look a person straight in their eyes.
Yes,
and
yes.
always give a strong handshake, not a weak one.
Yes. Right? You hate that?
We were taught that, and then they just like that means you really don't want it. To talk to me, you really don't want to touch me. When you weak handshakes means to me a weak person.
Yeah.
Because you're really not interested, like you said, you're not really interested in me. You're interested in what I can give you,
right.
and leave me alone.
Right.
And that never resolves. When a person, people don't want people opening up their doors for them or letting them have a chair anymore because they think that's sexist. Many women don't want the door open for him anymore.
Really?
He thinks he's better than me. No, he's showing you
really?
Courtesy.
Wait a minute. The vast majority of women, I must have an entourage. I have a small entourage, but they will stand there. I mean, and they won't touch that door.
I teach my daughter.
I hear you, but I know a lot of them.
I teach Lucretia. I says, if you're going somewhere with a man, stand at that door and don't touch the door until he opens up the door.
Right.
And I say, if he does not open up the door for you, don't
That's it.
Ever
That's it.
Go any place with him before. Why? Again, because he does not respect
He's not
you.
But on the flip side of the equation, okay, if you are the one who, you know, the guy is trying, or the guy is trying, and you blow it off, don't get rocks in your jaws later on when he doesn't do it because you were the one who told him not to.
That's it. Yes.
You set the tone. You set the tone. You just set the tone.
All right? You know, if he was getting out of the car and opening up the door for you, just that, you know, when you came out the house, and I said, oh, you don't have to do that. Well, don't look for it ever again.
There you go.
Because you are the one who set the tone for it.
Yep.
And it's the same thing that holds true, you know, in our employment situations where, you know, they were doing it at the beginning, and then all of a sudden they probably saw either a manager, and this is the worst one, when a manager doesn't follow the rules.
Yeah.
So when the manager doesn't follow the rules,
now
all of a sudden they have this perception, well, if they didn't do it, I don't have to.
But you know that, you ever notice when you go to like Tim Hortons or you go to McDonald's, the system that, like you was talking about earlier, the system that's in back there, if it's in confusion, it might, like you hear them, like when you go to the intercom, you drive through, you hear them fussing, rattling off to each other, all that noise in the background. And then you want, there's confusion. So when they come here, here's your thing. Like this, you're wondering, they're showing the manifestation of the system that's running in back of them. But if you can go to one that where I've been to fast food places where everything is in order. Here, you take care of this. Da, da, da. And then when they approach the front, can I help you? That's a good system. Your business should back up your. What do you call it? The ones at the counter should back up what's going on in the back. And then you have a fuss. Well, can I help you? You're going to have to wait for it like that. And then when you, if you go in and look in the system that's running them in the building, you find out, oh, that's why they're acting that way.
You know, and
they're not called to the account.
But it's because of who you're representing. And that's the same thing it is
that's
in
it.
The church.
Yes.
When we go out, we're supposed to be representing Christ, but we represent ourselves more so.
Right.
Oh, social media is the worst when it comes down to us representing Christ.
Yes.
So come Sunday, all right? Praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, okay? Mm-hmm. Monday, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Tuesday, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, it's the whole opposite. By Friday, you got exclusive bottles posted up.
Listen. I went for a job, and it was so funny. It was four of us sitting at the table. It was several people, but the table I was sitting at, it was four men. I was the only black, and it was three other Caucasian white people. I had my shoes. I was dressed proper. One of the other guys, shoes, shirt, tie. The other two guys had on dirty sneakers, jeans, and wrinkled shirts. No haircuts, didn't shave. And I'm looking. And the other two guys who had the sneakers on were on their phones. And we're in the waiting room, they're on their phones. And I'm looking, saying, this people, they watch what you do.
Yes, they do. First impression.
They're paying attention, and you're in here for an interview, and you're on your phone. So even though we were in a waiting, but anyway, long story short, the other gentleman, white guy who had the shoes on, was hired. I was hired. And the other two guys were not hired.
I wonder why.
They were not hired. And one of the reasons, to me, that they were not hired is the way that they have presented themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have a group of people say, man, you're going for a job dressed like that? And maybe they haven't been taught, or maybe it was the tone that was set in their household when they came. But I think the church set the same tone. When we tell people that they can come as they are.
Be careful.
You tell people, too, they come dressed as they are. See, when we were young, we dressed up coming to church. And even if you didn't have on a suit, you had on some shoes and some dress pants. And if you wore jeans, they had a crease in them, and you had a shirt with a collar on. Because, and I remember my mother, when we couldn't afford to go, I remember my first Botany 500 suit from Klein Hands.
Oh,
Klein Hands was downtown.
Fine hands. Wow. I haven't heard
yo,
that.
Yo, we're going way back. You see, we're going back. I had a Botany 500. And when I realized how nice Botany 500s were, because the Johnny Carson show, when it went off the credits, was, say, sponsored by Botany 500. So I thought, you know, I thought I was doing it.
You was balling like Johnny.
But see, what happened was, when we couldn't, before then, before we graduated to the client hands, being able to go to get a suit, my mother take you down to the thrift store. Get you some shirts, get you some pants, some shoes. Because we were whatever happened, we were definitely going to church. But we went to church dressed a certain type of way. And if we don't instill a setting where there should be a standard that you're not at the cookout. You're at church. You're not anywhere. Because one part about going to church, it should be, remember Jesus tells the parable about the Pharisee in the center praying, he said, the Pharisee just had his head lifted up, and he was bragging about what all he do. He said he was proud, but the sinner bowed his head. We have an attitude that comes about God where there's respect is absent.
I think it comes from the fact is the system that that operates within a person manifests in appearances, manifests in communication. One thing about it, I like quotations. Mahatma Gandhi said, he says, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians because you're not like this Christ.
He said,
I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians because you're not like your Christ.
Wow.
And that means the system of Christ is not, who is liked is not being manifested through the person who claims to be a Christian. What the power within you that's working with you will always manifest itself. It'll manifest in family, church, or even in society. You can't get away with it because it's going to come out who you really are. And like a store that has good customer service is because the system says good customer service. If the system says it doesn't matter, then and never be rebuked for coming wrong to a customer, that means the system's not working for the customer. And like Pastor Young says, what's the use of going there? Because it's not going to make a difference, because the system says it's okay for you to treat your customer any way you want. It's so you're a Christian, no matter how you treat anyone, you're a Christian. But when people are looking at you, is this the Christ? Is this the system that's working in you? Mm. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when Jesus was talking with Peter, and he had to ask him three times, hey, do you love me?
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And each time, you know, by the third time, Peter is like, dude, you know, but the truth is that, you know, do you really love him? In other words, do you respect him? Do you honor him? Are you know, and respect and honor is not what you do in his face. It's what you do when you leave.
Here you go.
You know, honor your father and your mother so that your days may be longer. The truth, you know, respecting them is when you're in their face. Honoring them is when you leave their presence. And you know, we do the respect thing very well at church. But the honoring thing is when we leave church and when we are out into the world. Because if you love me, feed my sheep. Okay? In other words, it's not about me. It's not our relationship. It's how you relate to others. And many of us don't love our jobs. Mm. We don't love our families.
True.
We don't love ourselves. And so all of a sudden, these outward appearances, expressions, whatever we call them about, I'm wondering what in the world all of these young people gonna look like when they turn about 65 with all these doggone tattoos all over the place. They're just gonna be a number of big old blob of ink.
I think. the problem lies in this. The young man that was here before we started, he was talking about you have to talk to the millennials.
Okay.
And you have to talk to them differently to where they are. But God's word never changes.
Right.
It will never change, and it cannot compromise. The system cannot compromise to please or to draw. because it has to be truthful at all stages.
It should be truthful.
Yeah, the delivery might be some different because you're reaching millennials, but millennials believe that they're entitled. And the
say
entitlement
that one
is
more
there.
Right.
And like they that life will not bite them if they make mistakes. I get them all the time at my job where is that they come in there and they've had semesters of bad going to school and they get D's, F's, whatever it is. And all of a sudden they wake up and say, now I'm ready to really, really work. And they can't understand why is it the past still is haunting them because they don't understand life. You have to understand life. There's consequences for your actions. And whether you're young, old, or whatever, life is gonna retaliate when you don't do it the system of the Lord. And many people believe, well, because I'm entitled to be forgiven, but I don't want to pay the price. But life says, yes, you do. You got to pay the price. When you think all of a sudden you've had three kids and you from different men, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you find out you want to live a life, but you don't want to reap from the children and the daddies, and you wonder why they acting up, and they come in, and well, what was the father like? I don't know. Well, if you look at whoever it was, they don't want to pay the price. You have bad credit. All of a sudden you wake up. You got a good job. Your bad credit is going to haunt you until you get it pulled up. Many people don't want to pay the price.
But parenting is still parenting.
Yes.
You still have to teach them. And we were taught, do unto others as you have them do unto you, the golden rule. And that still applies today because you wouldn't want to treat other people. You shouldn't, you know, in any different way that you want someone to treat you. And that's what's missing today with our young people. Like you said, they have no respect. They don't even know the word, the meaning of the word.
Very emotional. Very emotional, angry.
Yeah.
You know, and while y'all was talking, I was thinking about a time when I was mad at my car. I was driving down the road, and all of my cars have always been good to me. They've always been good to me. I've always got it in them. They started, and they took me where I had to go, and I turned them off, and I was very, very grateful. Well, this one particular car decided it wanted to conk out right in front of Pastor Thomas's church over here on East Ferry Street. And guess what I did? I called Pastor Thomas. I said, my car is parked out in front of your church. I'm mad at it. I'm not coming to get it no time soon. Just keep an eye on it. I let it sit there for a week. I was mad as a West Setting Hen. I got about 3 or 4 tickets on it. I didn't care. I was mad at the car. And I just let it sit there because it cut off on me. Well, you know, I go back to, you know, retrieve my car. I'm mad at a car that I didn't put gas in. And here's the hot one. If you know where his church is, it's right next door to a gas station. I was so mad at this car. That it sat in my backyard.
But it's the car's fault.
It sat in the backyard for over a year. I bought another car because it cut off on me. My cars don't cut off on me. I was just that angry.
That car was wrong.
That car
should have ran on air.
Was wrong.
That's right.
It's funny because I
that
remember.
That bad car.
I remember. I probably should have got whacked, but I didn't. Glad I didn't. And I was really up in age. My mom was letting into me because she was complaining that I was acting like my dad.
Uh-oh.
And she was telling me I was just like my no good father.
Uh-oh.
Me being me.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
My response to my mother was, you picked me. And I said, if you wanted me to act like a doctor.
And it's true.
You should have got pregnant by a doctor. She looked at me. Her eyes got big.
But
and
it's
I said,
true.
If you wanted me to act like a doctor, then you should have got pregnant by a doctor. You picked him. I ain't pick him. I said, so if I was acting like the man down the street, only because that's what my father right.
They cried.
My mother never ever
said that
ever, ever. Let her jaws tell me I was acting like my father.
And that's one of the issues that we have in today's society. We might complain about our children and how they act and how bad they are. But as Pastor Weatherly said, then you should have looked at their father and see how their father acts.
But, can I press pause just for one second? Just for one second. How? Because I hear that quite often. But then, you know, on the other side of the mouth, that comes out of their mouth is, he ain't never around. You ain't never spending no time with him. You ain't never. Okay, well, if he ain't never been around, never spent any time.
Why now?
Okay, where did that seed come from? It didn't come from him. I mean, I'm sorry to tell you, but attitude is not in your DNA.
Someone told me one
time. That's a seed planted in your life.
Said it again.
Where did you meet?
Attitude is not
that's a seed
in planted. Your DNA. And that's a seed that's planted by somebody.
But the point is that if you don't, like Pastor Wilson says, is if you don't take care of social skills, if you don't learn to communicate, you won't pick up on the signs that they're giving you. Like, okay, I'm mad at him because he's always out on the street. Where was he when you first met him? On the street. And you see what I mean? You're not picking up the signals. You're saying that he had three girlfriends and you pulled him away. And what makes you think he wasn't going to do it again? Or if he cheated on his wife and you married him, what makes you think he won't cheat on you?
Wait a minute.
Not picking up on the signals.
David danced out his clothes, right? That was the way he prayed sometimes. He just would get lost in his praise, right? Michelle thought it was cute when she first met him. But after he didn't come back and get her for 10 years, now all of a sudden that ain't cute no more. All right. And sometimes we, you know, the same thing that you got attracted with, now you were attracted to, now you're annoyed with. And yeah. Now which one is it going to be? Now this is what you wanted. You opened up the door for
it.
And now you got it. And it's not a Toyota.
That's the reason why Jerry Springer and all those shows, Maury's shows are showing people that never picked up on signals. And like I said before, okay, you sitting up, you don't know who the daddy is, and y'all on up there on the show, and you crying a boo-oo screech because it is neither one of them, and then they're making money off of
your
people.
Stupidness.
Your stupidness. The spirit of stupidness is making money.
Yeah. You just mad at the car.
Yeah, you're just mad at the car
because you didn't put the gas in.
Mm-hmm, and it's you. You did it. You did it.
What happens is.
It's your fault.
No, it's the car's fault. It was the car.
It's
trust
the car.
Me.
It's the
trust
car's
me.
Fault.
When I was in my 30s, I mean, that was just the way it was. It just
cars
was.
Crowds break down.
You know, and if the car broke down or anything like that, I was done with the car. It's time to just go get a new one. We ain't fixing nothing.
They fired
okay?
me. Why did they fire you?
You know, I blew an engine in the car. I blew an engine in the car running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I'm hearing all of this. 2 or 3 weeks, I did that. One day, I'm running late, rushing, trying to get to the radio station, and all of her, you know, it's honk. Guess what happened? I didn't put any oil in it.
It's the car's fault.
But it was the car's
It's the car's fault.
But this is a sad reality.
That's sad.
Pastor Weatherly works at a school, a place where people go to get educated.
Really?
And they don't study.
No.
Don't do their homework. Don't come to class. And then at some point, and the crazier part than that, they pay to go to this place.
Yeah.
They take out loans. Let me make my point. They take out
you
loans.
You want to go there? No.
They take out loans to go to a school that they're going to have to pay these loans back. And if you don't pay them back, they're going to take it out your taxes. And yet, they don't go to class.
Nope. And you try to beg them to go and they won't go?
And they won't go. Now watch. These same youth will live like this for 4 years or for the time that they're in school. They will become older. They will go to church. And you expect these same people to go to Bible study in the Sunday school. And then you can't figure out why won't you read the Bible? Why won't you come to a place to be educated? Because as Gandhi said, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. Because Christ went to the temple. Yes, matter of fact, did. When Christ was, because see, and this one of the funniest statements in the world to me, one of the most asinine statements, but the most funniest statement is the same statement where people say, I can get a relationship with God and I don't got to go to church. But Christ went to the synagogue.
That's right.
And not only did he go to the synagogue, the scripture says he increased in learning and in understanding, which means is he studied because he quoted Isaiah. Let me make my point. He quoted.
As his custom was.
Excuse me?
As his custom was.
He delighted himself in the law of the Lord both day and night. Mm-hmm. That was his habit. He had a habit. It wasn't a crack habit. It wasn't a liquor habit. It wasn't a cigarette habit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a Little Debbie habit. It was his habit was to meditate upon God's law both day and night. See, what we like to do, we think because they come to church and I give honor to God who's hidden my life, and now they put this mask on, and they try to make it seem as though that they're like Christ, but they won't do like Christ. Mm-hmm. They won't study. Mm-hmm. They won't pick up a book. They won't read it. And then we get in church, and we get all bent out of shape. Or you won't come to Sunday school. You won't come to Bible study. They didn't go to English or math or science either. So when they didn't do that in the world, and now we think because all of a sudden we got this holy that they're going to do it in the church. No, what you have to understand is there were five wise people. There were five foolish people. They were all in the same setting. They were all in the same place. Five people applied it, and five people said, I just want to come sit down. I want to sit at the gates. I don't want to go inside. I want to sit outside the temple, and I want to beg for alms. Listen, I told you, it's all the same story. Five foolish said, hey, can we get some of your oil? Can you hook me up? Listen, can you hook a brother up? I didn't have it. I'm not prepared. I didn't study. I didn't get up early. I didn't go to the marketplace because I like what the five wise told them. Go where they sell it and get your own.
Catch this now, but there's a balance here and social skills, and that's a good point right there. Don't be deceived to compromise because they need help. She said, go to the ones that sell it. Now, many people, sometimes when you have to be wisdom dealing with those that will be foolish, and because the foolish will make you sin trying to help them. And many times God will tell you, don't do that. But Lord, you said, love. No, don't give it to them. Don't do it. And that was wisdom in itself for them to refuse.
You have to understand what they said when they said, listen, when they said go to the marketplace where they said it, they said way more than that. You get up, quit being lazy.
There you go.
Get a job.
That's it.
Get a job.
There you go.
Save your money. After you save your money, you pay your bills, what you have left over, then you can play. But
there
you take
go.
Care
That's
your responsibilities.
It.
They said more than go buy it. They said, get your act together.
Yeah.
Set up on your feet.
Yes.
Quit wasting your money. What the Pastor Young said, God delivered you from a habit.
Mm-hmm.
He delivered you from a habit, but you were spending big time money on. Uh-huh. Hey, what you do
I
with that money?
Just
he delivered you. What you do with the money?
Don't mean you stupid. Lost your hustle.
They will accuse you. Well, you supposed to be a Christian. Yeah.
I am a Christian.
I am one. Now
I am a Christian. I'm part of the five wise. I'm not part of the five
but
foolish.
Here's the thing that kills me, okay? Now, when we were in grade school, I believe that the threshold for passing was 75. When we got to high school,
the threshold was
lowered to 55. So, when you lower the threshold,
come on there.
You have individuals who are, if I can only get 55, turn your radio up real quick. Dummy, that means you don't know 45% of the information.
Come as you are.
Say it.
Okay?
Come as you are.
And we keep lowering thresholds.
We're trying to take the test out.
While at the same time, the tests are changing where you can't even get the help.
You got that right.
My kid comes home the other day with a homework assignment. I looked at the equation and I said, brother, I can't help you. Okay? It's gotten to the point where the parents can't even help their children.
Catch this is that you go to schools and if you don't do your grammar, your elementary, and if you don't do your high school, all of a sudden you want to go to college. But you can't even write a sentence. You want to be business administration, and you can't spell business. It's amazing to me how we just think that the foundation principles, because I want a job, I don't have to follow the means to get the job. I want to be married, but I don't want to follow the rules to keep a marriage. And it's
the funniest thing. I'm gonna say it again. It was hilarious to me. I laughed so hard. The first week, working at a job, and we, while they were setting up the machines, and every station is computerized. Every single station is computerized, and you have this digital equipment. And so they were putting the computer chairs together to sit at the stations. One part of the packaging said extra parts. And I said it last week. It said extra parts. And the people who were putting the chairs together couldn't figure out why there were extra parts. And I pointed at it. Read it. It says extra parts. This part of the packaging is in case if you lose something later on, something come out, you have some extra parts. We have people who go to churches the same way. They won't pick up their Bible. They won't read. They won't study. And so they have no clue. Listen, if you don't do your homework, if you don't study your book, when the teacher's in front of the class, you're going to be lost. You're going to have no clue what he's talking about.
But it's the teacher's fault.
No, it's not.
Yes.
Let me tell you how I know it's not the
reason why he don't understand what I'm going through.
No, because there's going to be people in that class who are going to get A's and B's. There's going to be people in that same there's going to be people in that same class who's going to get C's and D's.
Yeah.
There's going to be people in that same class who get F's. One more time. One more time. The five wise and the five foolish. You had 10 people in the same setting, but five of them paid attention.
But the wise ones give me their oil.
And then listen, let me help you. They were all saints. They were all Christians. You got some foolish Christians, and you got some saved Christians. You got some foolish dum-dums.
Yeah.
Some dum-dums. The only thing they want to do is come to church on Sunday and sit there. Don't ask them to sing. Don't ask them to clap their hands. Don't ask them to put no money in the plate. Don't ask them to do anything. And they be the first person when a funeral comes, can't understand why you're charging to have the funeral in the church because they don't understand.
But I'm a member.
The cleanup people got it. The cleanup people are going to want to get paid. They don't understand. You have to turn the lights on.
I've been in this church for 20 years. You have to turn
the gas on. You don't understand that these things. Listen, the gas company will not take hallelujah, thank you, Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus, as a payment. They want money.
But you want to know
but
something?
It's about
but,
a standard.
But you have okay. some. You have some people who in from different cultures now.
Yeah.
Because the individuals, some guys came by here, and they were from overseas somewhere. And over there, their mosques and their churches, they don't have to pay electric and gas bills at all because it's a church. So there is a mindset out there that we don't have to pay electric. We don't have to pay gas. There's a mindset out there, unless you own a trustee board. Okay, but there is a mindset that, you know, the government's going to give us a grant. We don't know. Churches are not. We may or may not. We have to, you know, get CDCs and find other ways around so we can take Christianity out of it to get money from the government, to then funnel it back into church. You know, there are so many things that are misnomers. And the reason why is, again, we lowered the threshold. All right. You only know 55% of the information, or even worse, you're failing because you're less than that. You know, so you know the Bible tells us to study, to show ourselves approved. You know, no matter what it is, if it's the church, study the word, but not only the word, but make yourself acquainted with how your church operates. The same thing that holds true with your employer. You know, you need to understand what the vision of that particular place is. You just can't come in and grab no paycheck and be changing up stuff because that's not your vision. That's their vision. They paying you. You're not paying them. You know, and if you want to start in the business, you again, the same thing. You need to do the research. You need to study to show yourself proof. I don't care where you do this. You need to know what it is so that you can. So, you know, you got to get like my mom. This was what my mom, when she was a little girl, she took this test, right? She got a 99. She cried. She cried so hard that the teacher felt sorry for her, that he allowed her to take the test again so she could get 100. She just, I mean, because she did not want to take home a 99.
Wow.
Why in the world do we want to take home a 55? You know, in our personal lives, why do we want to take home, you know, a 55 in our paycheck? Why
because
do we want to take, you know, 55 home in our family?
Because the system says
you can.
You can. It's a system.
Yeah, they says you can, but yeah. You haven't set a standard for yourself.
You got to set the standard. You have to set the standard for yourself. Because if you don't set the standard for yourself, then who's going to do this?
Watch. This is so awesome that you would say that.
He would be like a tree.
This is so awesome that you would say that. Because there's a standard that's being set in America right now where it's legal to smoke marijuana.
Say it.
It is.
There's a standard that's being set. It's okay to smoke marijuana.
Yep.
But there's also another standard that's not being lowered, that your employer does not have to hire you.
All right.
Because you have marijuana in your system. Now, the government is setting the standard. You want to smoke some recreational marijuana? Smoke as much as you want. And we're going to grow some really good stuff. But when a new plant opens up in your neighborhood and they're hiring, Panasonic just had a hiring fair, a job fair. They're hiring 200 people. But if you have marijuana in your system, they will not hire you.
Ooh, we got to go. But can I just say this? In the same standard holds true with God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
His standard has a lesson.
I could care less if you're an old school person, whether you're middle-aged, or whether you're a millennial.
It doesn't matter.
The word is the word. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Heaven is there, and hell is real.
Listen,
all of that.
This is 100.3 on your FM dial, 1120 on your AM dial. Hey, every Saturday, tune in at 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Listen. Tomorrow, go to a God-believing church, a church that believes in the Son, Jesus Christ, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is The Conversation. See you next Saturday.